The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. I have a special set of skills I've acquired. Wherever you are, I will find you, and I will eat you. I don't like that. That sounds weird. That sounds like I'm being sexual. And yeah. I'm not being sexual. I'm just hungry. What's the snacks? Yeah. What's the snack? You know what? Just use this. All right, we're good.
Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I have a special set of hosting skills, as always. I'm Tony, here to be a nightmare for all the listeners. And joining me today is...
Brian.
Well, what do you even do with that? I'm Rob.
And I'm back from the other side, Joe.
Oh my god. We sent Liam Neeson out there to get Joe back from the Albanians, and he has joined us once again.
Also joining us again is the entire line of Frito-Lay and Nabisco snacks.
And there's a mountain of snacks.
It is more chat early, huh? It is more fat than chat this week.
Yeah, it happens.
Holy smokes. All right.
I'm going to hit all these snacks in their tracheas.
Literally, all this shit about the silence finger, and you're going to wait till now to start busting into stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
You are an asshole.
We know this.
It's part of the thing. I just wanted to clear some space. We don't need two of every animal. Also, that guy is not going to be necessary today.
They took his daughter. He'll take their lives. We did Taken from 2008.
He'll never take their freedom.
And awkwardness has set in.
Directed by Pierre Morel, who did District B-13, From Paris to Love, and The Gunman.
This guy loves his Paris movies.
Was that like a District 9 spin-off?
No, that's it's a parkour movie.
Yes.
Where it's like, think of Escape from New York, where except in Paris, they walled off a district, and everyone there is a criminal and does parkour.
Are you being for real right now?
No,
yes.
It's a real thing. Look it up.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
This is totally real.
It's not a good movie, but there's some interesting...
No, come on.
There's some interesting stuff in there.
All right. But yeah, that's all I got on him, because apparently he's produced a whole ton of stuff, but not directed a whole lot. Or produced, or did camera work, or whatever else. Anyway, what is your personal history with this movie, Joe?
I was told by Rob and Matt, and I think you two, that I needed to see this movie for many years. And I think maybe 2 years ago, I saw it once. And that's it.
Okay. Rob.
I saw this movie, and apparently I told Joe for many years that he had to see it.
Okay. Brian.
I saw this movie, not when it came out. It was a few years later, because you guys kept saying I should watch it.
Okay.
I saw it like twice.
Yes, seen this maybe once or twice. Oh, definitely once, maybe twice. Possibly more if I watched it with other people, but yeah, I don't remember talking it up that much, but I guess maybe I did. All right.
You used to talk more years ago.
Eh, things change. All right. A brief history of this movie. Katie Cassidy, the character that plays Amanda in this movie, is a 19-year-old, while Maggie Grace Kim plays a 17-year-old, but in real life, Grace is actually older by 3 years.
Close to 20.
It's just a little thing. No, I don't know what their actual ages are, but she's 3 years older than the girl playing an older girl than her. They're both older than 17 and 19.
Right. That was the way you said it was confusing to me. So
yeah, it is. It's kind of a weird one to bring up. But anyway, Jeff Bridges was originally cast as the lead role in this movie.
The dude?
What?
Yeah, the dude.
That would have been different.
That would have been very different.
No, one movie about him trying to save a young girl is enough.
Could he have done it as Obadiah Stane?
Oh.
I don't think you can do anything but soil your pants as Obadiah Stane. But so he had to drop out. So Liam Neeson took the role, thinking the movie was going to be crap and a bomb and direct a video. But he was like, you know what? I'm an older guy. I haven't gotten to do any action stuff. So let me give this a try and see what happens.
That explains a lot.
Doesn't it? Oh, also, he wanted to spend 4 months in Paris. So, yeah. Badoo. So, does anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
$4
million. $35 million.
$10 million.
Well done, Joe. It's $25 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew it was between their two numbers.
What?
I knew it had to have been between their two numbers, because I knew it couldn't have been that cheap, and I knew it couldn't have been $35 million either.
Wait, didn't you say
four? He said four.
You said $4
million? Yeah.
I thought you said $400 million. Okay, never mind.
What? $400 million?
I don't listen to Rob. Anyone want to guess? That's such a wacky
number. They just rented Paris.
That's two King Kong.
Wait. Because that's such a wacky number? From the guy who usually says jizz in a cock sock or something in double
Oreos? I have never once said that.
You respond to those?
Yeah, because this was an actual number, so I let it go.
Slander.
Yeah.
Slander, sir.
Anyway.
Never once.
Anyone want to guess any kind of a sock? How much this movie made?
$110 million.
$200 million.
$50 million jizz in a cock sock.
Wow, that just cost you the lead, Joe. It was $227 million.
Wow. Yeah. I knew it was like it did way better than it cost, but I didn't know by that much.
Yeah. They made bank.
How many of these are there? Like three of them?
At least.
And a TV show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Has anyone seen that?
It's on Netflix. You can watch it if you.
The entire series?
Really want
to
waste.
Why did this need to be a TV show?
I think it's supposed to be like. A prequel TV show?
I believe so.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah, his going-ons before he retired.
Do you call it Taken still?
Yeah, the show's called Taken.
But no one's Taken.
I'm sure someone, if not many people, are Taken.
Someone is Taken each episode.
Yeah, okay. Probably. Anyway, so where'd that money go, Joe? Who's in this thing?
You got Liam Neeson as Brian Mills. You have Maggie Grace as his daughter, Kim. And then you have Famke Janssen as Lenore. And you get a bunch of Albanian people get karate chopped in the throat.
Yeah, that's all you need for one of these.
Shitty Laurel Lance. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
And a pony.
And a pony.
Yeah, a pony.
That was a full-fledged horse, actually.
Yeah, it really was. Horse. Yeah. Show-stealing horse.
Yeah.
And talk of you too, but anyway.
I believe they named it White Privilege.
Sure did.
Can we talk about that now, actually? Yeah. It never dawned on me the first time through this movie, but I'm like, God damn, this girl has, like, there's no way she's going to lose at life. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I have, you know, a stepdad who's a billionaire. I have a regular dad who's a sociopath.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Like, in the beginning, he buys her this lovely present. It's karaoke machine, and she's real excited to have it until the horse shows up.
She's pretend excited to have it.
I think, probably a little, but like, I think she's excited to have it. She's just,
Her dad tried. Her dad listened to what she wanted to do, and.
Yeah, it's not like a stuffed pony.
Yeah.
So she's like, you know what? This is something I can use. That's great,
like,
Dad.
That would have been like fucking nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
He gave her like a stuffed pony.
Yeah.
And then goes over the horse like
that. At that point, he'd just walk up and break the horse's neck.
Yeah. Really? What was it, Conan?
Yeah. Punch straight up, punch out a horse.
I was thinking, I'll just pull out like a blow dart from your pocket. That horse goes down. No, but she leaves this thing on the ground to run over for this horse, and it's like, you know, it's supposed to be kind of a sad moment. It's like, that doesn't mean she doesn't like it. That's just what she does. Yeah. Like, maids will come and pick it up. It's fine.
No, I mean, okay, she went through a horrible ordeal in this movie, but her life is just like, oh, I win a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, I win another thing.
Well, like, we're already in it now, so, like, might as well.
Yeah, we're in it. Let's just.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the movie starts just as we just said, like, that's how it starts. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The funny thing to me is like with how weird it is, like the whole like circumstances, because like they lie to him about like where they're gonna go, what who they're gonna be with, what they're gonna do. Like on a scale of like, if I lie to my parents like that, you guys would never see me again. Like my parents would kill me themselves. They wouldn't have let me.
But see, here's the key difference. It's not her parents lying, or her lying to her parents. It's her and one of the parents lying to this other parent.
No, no, but
I don't
know
why she lets her get away with all this.
My dad would have, when he talked to the person on the phone after I got taken, he would be like, hey, keep them. I don't want them anymore.
All right, just
life lesson learned.
No, he would get on the phone and be like, just so you're aware, they're a filthy liar.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Just tell them that's what they get for lying to their dad.
Just to catch everybody up. Liam Neeson and Famke Janssen used to be married. They had a babby. Mm-hmm. Then they were separated, and the babby now lives with Famke Janssen. And,
who is terrible.
Yeah.
And lives with
Mr. Billionaire?
Yeah, D.L. Moneybags. Mm-hmm. Who gave her a horse.
Named yeah. White, so Liam Neeson, he's developed a particular set of skills, and apparently in the development of these skills, he neglected his marriage and his daughter.
Yes.
And he's trying to get back into his daughter's life. And he basically at this point lives for his daughter.
Yeah.
So he is, the whole first act of the movie is basically just Liam Neeson loves his daughter. That's it.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, like, it is, you know, we keep building up this thing about how he's trying to get back into his daughter's life and everything, but it's like, your relationship with her seems fine. I mean, other than the fact that she's lying to you about all this crap, but
there's the barrier of Famke Janssen, who...
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's your problem. It's not the daughter. Yeah. You need to deal with her.
Wow.
That's a problem, man.
I don't know. I'm not saying, like, kill her, but...
Yeah.
But it's like that's the discussion of, you know, I'm trying to get back in her life. Like, you seem to have a fine relationship. For a teenage daughter, the fact that she'll even talk to you, you're doing fine. Mm. That seems fine to me.
I don't know, but you seem fine to
him. So, if
Tony has never raised children.
I haven't.
Didn't know going into this that this was a Rampage movie, and like, at this point, you would just kind of be like, so it's just like Liam Neeson earning his ex-wife's trust would be
what
this movie's about. And you're like,
Also, quick fun side note, I also read that Maggie Grace went to some kind of class for a while to learn how to run like a 12-year-old.
Well,
which explains all the ridiculous...
She ran like an idiot. Well, not a 12-year-old.
12-year-old idiot?
Yeah, like 12-year-old idiot.
What's the difference?
And it's Maggie Grace?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was it going to be Maggie Gyllenhaal, but then they couldn't tell the difference between her and the horse, so they had to...
Oh.
Shots fired.
Oh, wow.
God damn, Rob.
Poor Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
What's not Sarah Jessica Parker. Come on, now.
Both of you.
All right. So anyway, long story short, she's...
You leave Maggie alone!
Oh, Chris Parker.
Going to the deep cuts. Sorry, what were you saying, Joe?
So she's going to Paris to supposedly stay with her friend Amanda and their cousins, is what Liam Neeson is told. And he's like, I don't know, Paris, there's some bad parts there. And they're like, why are you crazy? It's Paris. But it's more his trust was betrayed because he never was consulted about it. Yeah. But I didn't realize you have to sign off on letting your child travel to another country, even if one parent is okay with it. I didn't think
just because both under parents 18, had to. Maybe?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because she's under 18.
Yeah.
Probably because they're...
Joint custody?
Yeah, joint custody and divorce, probably.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I just never knew that was a thing.
Yeah. Can't take your kid out of the country without consent.
Yeah.
So,
it'll look like you're running away with him.
He's like, well, I can't give consent. And then a scene later, he's like, all right, here's consent. But you got to call me and, you know, I'm going to be a paranoid dad.
Well, this is the other funny thing about this, especially because, spoiler alert, the sequel is largely about how he's back with Famke Janssen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they really make her shitty.
Yeah.
This whole thing. Like, she's so against her.
They pull a rope-a-dope on him because, like, his daughter calls him to spend to have lunch with him, just two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has not had a relationship with her, like, that he wants yet. So he's happy as fuck about this.
Yeah.
Like, so fucking happy. Shows up. Here's his daughter and her mother.
Yeah.
And immediately they're like, we only called you here for you to sign us paperwork. He's fucking pissed. I'd be mad as fuck too. I would say shit at that moment.
Like, and this is the problem that I have. Like, so far I've not developed a connection to this girl at all. Because so far, like, every bit of her love and appreciation has been, like, conditional on what she gets out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
That's fair.
Like, there's been no time where she seemed like an actual person. It's always like, hey, you brought me a present. but it's not as good as this horse, so bye, Dad. And, hey, I love you, but only because I want you to let me go to do this thing. And so it's like, I don't really care about her.
So, I mean, kids are assholes, so...
You know. Well, yeah, I didn't feel that strongly about it. Like, I felt like, that, you know, she probably does care about him. It's just, yeah, just spoiled and kind of shitty.
And, like, well, they do touch on their whole relationship has been to this point, like, he sees her once again on her birthday, and he gives her a gift.
Yeah.
Takes a picture of it for his yearbook, which they point out, and that's, like, that's their interactions. Mm-hmm. Like, because he's been overseas working, you know, killing people, whatever, to the point where he ditched the mission to come home for her birthday and got in trouble for it.
He said, I'll never miss a birthday.
Yeah, speaking of, he's got all his old buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the movie with them? Like, I want to see a movie with all them as, like, a team.
Well, you know what
Or is it called Predator, and it already came out?
I guess think that's a TV show.
Throat chops Predator and smashes his head on a car door.
I believe it. I think he's taller than Predator is.
So I would have liked it better if they put these scenes of him, like, trying to bond with his daughter spread throughout the movie. And, like, he's on the rampage in the beginning. And then, like, even in the beginning, if you're just like, why is this guy hurting people? Like, I don't even know. And then you see, like, a scene every once in a while.
With an adult, like, why he's doing.
Yeah. Not this entirety, like, here's everything about getting to the rampage, and then we do the rampage. Because, like, when we get to the rampage part, I'm really into this movie. But at this point, I'm like, when are you going to get kidnapped?
To be fair, that's, like, 20 minutes.
Not even.
It's so, like, it can seem slow, but it's so short.
Yeah, it feels long,
And they even give you a little nibble.
They do with the She-Ra part.
Yeah, She-Ra.
Fucking She-Ra is in this movie.
Princess of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the problem with She-Ra?
Well, nothing except for the fact that she could have stopped that knife guy her damn self.
Yeah, that one knife guy was like, I cannot allow this to go on.
Then she'd have to reveal herself, and everyone would know that she is both a pop singer and a superstar or a superhero. And Jem would sue her.
She's just an imposter. That's why this guy was like, I gotta end her.
How awesome is that? Oh. Okay, She-Ra's the one that gets taken, and Prince Adam is the one that goes on a rampage.
Oh, I thought you were still going with She-Ra is both a pop star and the princess of power, like a Hannah Montana kind of.
Well, yeah, but she'd be secretly She-Ra would be Jem.
They tried to make a movie with Jem.
Yeah, but this would be awesome because
a movie with Jem.
So She-Ra,
it's a movie.
Yeah, so technically it is.
She-Ra slash Jem leaves Eternia and her power sword behind to go be a pop star in America, and she gets taken. Prince Adam finds out about it and goes on a rampage as He-Man through Paris, just knocking buildings down with his bare hands.
Well, with Dolph Lundgren, it would be like Kaiju in Paris.
It would be. We could even put Grildor in it, but he would be an Albanian. Was that too racist?
I think so.
We didn't open the Doritos. I'm sorry. Couldn't help it.
Where'd they go?
He'd still have...
Over there.
The one bag he moved to make room.
Yeah.
You ass.
Grildor.
All right.
I got sauce on my
Also, I think you're borderline pitching Zorn right now. So just go watch
I don't know what that is.
Never mind.
Right. Basically, he saved She-Ra from a knife
movie.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. He saved She-Ra from a knife wielding crazy fan. So she agrees to help his daughter out, who wants to be a singer.
Plus a sick beach.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Didn't happen. Right.
Didn't happen.
Shut up.
Yeah. It might have been offered, but he wasn't taken.
All right. That was behind the scenes. We at least got one.
She was like, I've developed a specific set of skills.
All right, so we get to the meat of this here. So basically, they go to Paris. She finds out that Amanda lied to her. Nobody's in the house. And Amanda's like, I love all the boys. First boy I meet, we're going to party with.
They get off the plane and they immediately fuck up. It's just like, here's a dude.
Oh, let's hello, get into stranger.
The cab with him. Yeah. Let's show him where we live. Tell him what apartment and that we're
tell
alone.
Him we're by yourselves.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you. You deserve everything. Well, no.
Yeah, well.
But...
So yeah, Amanda's that's just a little like far,
but yeah, that's why I stopped.
Just told me. Have
a Dorito.
Well, I was like, it's true, and then I thought about what it really meant, and yeah, I got a little sad. Anyway,
so yeah, they were just like, we're over here, come take us.
And they were like, okay.
They're in Paris for like a hot, like 2 minutes, and they're already kidnapped.
Kim and Amanda don't even unpack.
It's Kim and Amanda's European vacation.
Yeah. So Kim finally calls her dad, who's freaking out at this point because he hasn't heard from her.
Didn't call her when she landed, didn't call her when she got to the hotel, didn't call her.
Yeah, didn't
she made the right move here because she's going to be taken. They come in, they grab Amanda. And this part I don't get because Liam Neeson's like, go to a bedroom and hide under a bed. Like that, they're gonna look there. Like,
yeah, but
well, that's
so
the thing. You're gonna be taken. Like this.
Assumption is he's trying to buy time.
Yes.
See, but I would, if that were the case, I'd be like, find a door that locks, put shit in front of it, and call the cops.
No, but then like, she can't see what they look like.
Well, true, so needs, but like, needs, like she might stop the kidnapping.
Yeah.
In general, if there's a cop right there.
Yeah, if she can't see what they look like.
The cops are in on it.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Well, they don't know that yet, but I will say this. You said she won't see what they look like. If she doesn't see what they look like, that means they don't get through the door, which means she's safe, so.
Yeah, because either way, they're still going to get through the door eventually, so she can still do all that.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is she would need a different phone, but.
Yeah.
Find a phone in the house? I don't know. Either way, it seemed kind of weird to just go hide under the bed. But
so I figured it was like an off chance that like they don't check under the bed.
Yeah.
And she's okay.
That could have also been it. It could have been just like, it's a safe, like kids feel safe under the bed.
Look, when I'm prowling through someone's house, I always look under the bed.
I'm afraid of monsters under there, so I don't.
Yeah. I am the monster under
there. Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes I like to just say hi to them. Say like, hey, monster, what's going on?
You know what? Hide in the closet. As we learned, you can take a coat hanger, stab in the
eye. Oh, yeah.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. I'm taking everybody up in here.
Yeah.
So here's where we get probably the most iconic part of the film.
Yes.
Where, like, the guy just picks up a phone and starts breathing heavy into it after they take Kim and Liam Neeson. I don't remember exactly what he says. Do you want to take a shot at this?
He was like, I don't know who you are. I don't really care. Let my daughter go, and I won't come after you. If you take her, I have certain set of skills that's made for this shit. I'll find you, and I'm going to kill you.
Yep.
And the guy's like, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smashes the phone.
So Liam Neeson also recorded all this, so he could, you know, hear what she said about the description and hear what these guys were saying.
Like, that's the most baller part about the whole thing. Because, like, she's on the phone, and he's like, all right. Let me get my recorder out, set this up. He's like, all right, little girl, look, they about to take your ass. Mm-hmm. Don't scream. It's going to happen. Like, in his tone, he's like, you didn't do what I told you to do. This was fucking it.
Well, this, guy, this guy's like, my emotions, put them over there.
Well, I was going to say, like, I wasn't sure what would be the best part to bring this up, but this could be just called I Told You So, the movie.
Yeah.
It's like the whole, with the mother, with the, you know, oh, just let her go to Paris, it'll be fine, what could happen, and like, the, you know, the daughter's like, oh, I didn't bother calling him, and whatever. Right. So, yeah, it's just like, fuck, this is what I told you. You said I was paranoid? Is this paranoid?
I know you're used to doing whatever you want with that bitch I let you live with, but now you listen to daddy.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring this up in, like, pretty much the next scene where he goes to the house that they're staying at, or Fopke Jansen and his daughter, Kim, with the rich guy, as she's, you know, saying, I need to see your stuff or whatever, and then, like, has Fopke Jansen sit there, well, this other dude is telling him about the guys that took her?
He has his friend do some digging already.
Yeah.
His friends are on it.
This is what they do.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But he's like, she needs to hear this. Again, like, I told you so. Yeah. I told you this is the shit I was talking about. Like,
it was funny because he's like, so what happened? The guy's like, you sure? He's like, yeah, she needs to hear it.
Yeah.
He says something, goes, what else?
Yeah.
He's like, what else?
And how many times are they going to rape her? Huh? Like, what? No.
He's like, being like, ah.
Was he around?
But I felt bad because basically when he was letting her know, like, let me do my fucking job. Don't fucking butt the fuck in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm about to do some shit. Stay the fuck home. Leave me the fuck alone. I think that's what he was telling her. Like, listen, this is serious shit. I don't need your 2 cents about what's about to happen because you don't know shit.
Daddy's in charge now.
That's what he was telling her. Like, you don't know shit.
So basically, he's got 96.
Shut the hell off.
He's got 96 hours to find her.
Yeah, he's like, usually like they're long gone sold.
Yeah, you can't find him.
He's
anymore.
Like, hey, rich boyfriend, get me a plane ticket to Paris. I'm one of your private jets. And next birthday, when you go to give her the cool gift, I get to give it to her.
It's for me.
It's for me. Yeah.
Now he did specify. Now's not the time for dick measuring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Liam Neeson though, so it was no contest.
No, definitely not.
I'm telling you, like, I have expected his dick.
Whatever you're dealing with Liam Neeson, it's not the time for dick measuring.
But they're in each other's face, and I have expected Liam Neeson's dick to just come up and slap me in the face. She's like, wait, what was that?
Don't worry about that.
Go get that. Not the time.
While you've been jabbering, my dick's been tying your shoelaces together. Suddenly, Wolverine shows up.
Oh, there it is! There it is! I was waiting for it.
Joe, you were here when we watched it. There was the X-Men Origins preview before we watched the movie.
I'm aware of what you're referencing.
No, I know, but it brought it all.
But yeah, it brought it right back.
Oh, DVD was the preview for X-Men Origins.
Oh, okay.
As soon as he put it in, it started playing that trailer. We're just like, oh, no. Here we go.
I was waiting for it the whole day.
It was almost like, I don't know. It seemed almost like we stopped watching the DVD like at that point once, and it just saved the spot. Because it was like in the middle of the preview. So I think we were like, hey, you want to watch Taken? Sure. And then started playing the Origins preview. Well, we were like,
that,
nope.
That was enough to scare you right there. We're like, no, we're not watching anything.
I can't do it.
Nope. I'm done with movies.
Or Rob just yelled an F word and threw a Lego set through the TV.
Friendlies was the word I yelled.
So, all right. He gets to Paris. He finds where they were staying. He finds their bags. He finds he basically retraces the whole accident.
Yeah.
And then...
The shitty part about like all this is that no point are the police informed at all of what's happening. So like even at the end of this movie, I don't know if they ever like got any of those girls out. If any of them
he is not concerned.
I know he's not, but like about. Like,
but here's the thing though. He's leaving a trail of destruction. So the police are showing up.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like they're not, you know, they know. But they're on the payroll.
I mean, he's beating these villains to the point where they're calling the cops to get help.
Well, we also get weird that, like, he takes hair at one point from a broken mirror. Is he ever doing anything with that?
Not that we see, but,
The problem was a deleted scene somewhere where
he brought the guy home.
The French, whatever. Possible, whatever the word is.
Frenchman.
I love me some honey buns.
But yeah, he finds the broken phone and an SD card from it. And there's some machine that he can plug it into. Is that a thing?
Those were a thing.
Yeah.
Those were, okay.
The 2000s.
That makes sense. I don't remember dealing with one. But of course it can just do fucking magic with your photos. Because that's how it is.
That camera had good resolution.
Yeah.
For a phone camera back then? That was amazing.
I mean, I do like the fact that you could tell who it was, but it was still heavily pixelated.
Yeah.
They didn't go crazy with it.
No, they didn't.
He never told the machine to enhance.
Yeah.
Well, he did hit the enhance button.
He hit the process button.
Yeah. Well, it was processing enhancing, so. And then printed out that one portion of the picture, because you can do that.
So he makes the leap of logic that's what
those machines were for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he makes the leap of logic, like, sketchy Peter over here is probably going to be at the airport doing the same thing again.
Probably his job to do that.
And sure enough, he is.
Mm-hmm.
About to get himself another blonde girl.
Yeah, Peter is the stranger that the girls met up with and shared the cab with.
So,
Amanda's, I'm gonna have sex with him.
Yeah. He's not going to be having sex with anybody for a while.
Oh, things change for Peter real quick when he gets in this taxi. Instead of this, attractive blonde woman he's picking up, he just gets a fully loaded Liam Neeson. He's yelling questions and giving him Charlie horses.
He's punching him in the ribs.
He's punching him in that floating rib. Like, yeah.
Just It's brutal.
I believe it starts with before he even gets in the cab, he grabs him, spins him around, and smacks his head on the roof of the cab.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, then the other guy, like this guy, Peter's helper here, kind of runs over. And this poor dude, he makes the mistake of tangling with Liam Neeson, gets a chop in the throat, and then his head slammed on the hood of the car. And then, like, his leg broken, and a lot of terrible things happened to him.
Oh, yeah.
So much that now Peter's like 100 yards down the road.
Just like, if you haven't seen this movie, which I'm sure you probably have if you're listening to this right now, but like, no one thing happens to anyone. Multiple things happen to everyone. Like,
everyone gets a combo.
Yeah, it's some combo of something, and it's all horrible.
Yeah. Liam Neeson is Beretta.
Yeah. Well, like, especially with Peter, because he's the first, so he's the only one kind of in the area, besides the other dude that tries to help. But so, like, everything is just thrown at him. Like, later it's spread out a bit more, but yeah, this guy just
so he's like, all right, this guy's a badass, but he's kind of old, so I bet I can take him in a parkour contest. So he jumps off the highway onto the roof of an 18-wheeler, then he jumps off that, and he's like, all right, you know, we're safe.
But he's loading, and he forgets, I'm on the highway still. Yep. He's fucking smashed by a truck.
Semi-truck just does a run-in. And he splats. Yeah.
Like, that is it for Peter. Mm-hmm.
So
there goes that lead.
Yeah. And Neeson's like, whoops, I murdered all of my leads. Let's go see this detective guy.
So we got, like, Kevin Spacey's brother. It's like
Detective Franz over here.
Calvin Spacey?
Was he a constable? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but he and Liam Neeson go way back. Mm-hmm. I think they worked together maybe when he was stationed in France or whatever.
But he's very adamant about he works behind a desk now.
Right. Yeah. He does not want to get involved.
And he doesn't want any trouble or damage or making a mess.
Right.
Neeson's like, I will destroy this entire city if I have to find my daughter. Yeah.
Like, pretty much file says it. Like, I don't care about the city.
Listen, I'm not trying to make a mess, but I'm going to make a mess.
I've got a discarded panda tooth, and I will use it to summon Godzilla.
If I cannot have my daughter, no one will.
Like, you
no
know,
one will have anything.
Yeah. I highly recommend you help me out here, but I can't make you do it. But I'm going to do what I got to do.
This guy's like, I'm going to go over here. Some Albanians get killed. It's their own fault.
Well, no, he's like, you know what? I'm going to get somebody to tail him because I know he's going to start fucking things up. So he goes, he gets himself a translator who he has waiting by some hookers for whatever reason. So he... Once the translator's in the car, he then goes and harasses this hooker for a while to where Pimp shows up so they can put a bug on him.
In fairness, this hooker's customer service was pretty awful.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, he was trying to make a little small talk, and she's like, oh, you want to fuck or what?
I mean, in all fairness, though, like...
Time is money.
It was 40 euros. That ain't shit. So she was like, look, I could have three more guys in his tenants we were talking. Like, you
I don't know. She was awful confident about her ability to make that sale.
She's quantity, not quality. Yeah. She's like, yeah, in and out, you're not cool, but...
Yep. Also, let's not forget, for those of us that work retail... This is that one person that just wants to talk your ear off about all kinds of bullshit that you don't give a rat's ass about. And like, oh, this is really good with this kind of sauce and whatever. But like, just go. Just if you're buying it, buy it. Otherwise, get out of my face.
Plus, chances are she was going to take them somewhere and they were going to get rolled anyway.
Yeah.
So like, doesn't fucking matter. All
right. So
and he's intentionally being a dick because he wants this pimp so he can put the bug on him.
So this pimp comes strolling over, hits the girl just because.
Yeah.
Yeah, she fucked up somehow, according to him.
She didn't
get those sales.
And then, he just comes over, makes Liam Neeson pay for himself and for the two customers that she was apparently a guaranteed sale for. But what he doesn't know is Liam Neeson's
Batman. He
sneaked on his little Batman listening device.
Sorry, Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, he trained Batman.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hashtag not my Ra's al Ghul.
Then he goes back to the translator. He's like, here's 10 hours of pay. Translate what they're saying. And the translator's like, they're not speaking well of you.
So?
That's right. I got to work off this anger boner for not killing that pimp when he came at me.
Oh, but he's thinking of like 10 ways he's going to kill that pimp later.
Oh, yeah. Did he think about the bulldozer, you think?
I think he put that in the, I hope this could happen. When he heard the word construction site, he's like, I hope this could involve a bulldozer.
He pictured a couple different construction site ways of destroying him in a wonderful fashion.
I like how this pimp's like, maybe if I knew why I was here. And he's like, you don't want to know why you're here.
But yeah, he starts translating. He's like, you know, they're talking a bunch of nonsense. And then he mentions something about the construction site and getting new product in. So Liam Neeson's like, nope, that's what I want. Get out. Give me my Albanian to English dictionary and I'll be on my way.
Dude, he made the fuck out. He got 10 hours of pay for literally 10 minutes of being there.
Yeah.
And a fucking dictionary that cost $2.
Yeah. But he did get herpes.
How'd you get herpes?
Just being there. It's in the air. It's airborne herpes. It's real bad.
Okay. All right. All right, then. Okay.
You didn't see that street corner?
Okay. Right.
So he goes to the construction site. And you just like, it's like a, I don't even, it's like an assembly line. You just sort of walk in, you get your ticket, and you just go in there, get your girl, and go to work.
Yep.
There is no romance to be found here.
No,
it's the least sexy brothel.
It's one big room that just has some string across it, or two strings across it, and they hung up different like curtains. They just separate the areas. That's all you get.
And these girls are like barely conscious. Yeah. You know?
I don't like this shit.
Nope.
Yeah, he's looking around.
That's the only way you can manage it sometimes, guys. Okay, gosh.
Eat a Dorito.
So.
Eat another Dorito.
It won't help.
In preparation.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he's just looking in all the windows. Or all the curtains. And he finds his daughter's jacket.
Dun, dun, dun.
First of all, I kind of thought this was funny because he doesn't look in all of them. He stops when he finds his daughter's jacket. So what if she was like two tenths over? He just stopped looking.
Well, he wanted to ask this this person where it was.
Well, yeah, I get that.
I mean, she's like, okay.
Yeah, she's strung out.
In all fairness, he had to stop because he had to punch a guy to get talk to her. And that guy was like, yo, got help. So, like, his car was blown at that point. Like,
plus, he was tired of looking at saggy Albanian balls.
And
like you do.
I couldn't even tell you what he does to all these people. He just beats the shit out of everyone.
Like, the first guy, he hit like 100 times. Hit him in his knees, throw his face.
He was doing a lot of straight nut shots. Too.
Yeah.
Then guns get involved.
Yeah, he just destroys that guy. I don't even remember what he does to the dude with the gun, but somehow.
Punches the crap out of him.
Mm-hmm. He eventually makes his way outside with this girl, because he's going to try and get some questions out of her later, and just starts, like, doing donuts in the parking lot and knocking over flaming oil cans or whatever.
Yeah, we have a big old car chase. And it's like, I mean, it's a bit long. Like, the car chase scene for me was a little bit long.
Yeah.
I guess. I generally, like, most car chases I'm not that into. And this one was also a little more focused on the actors' faces and a little less on what the cars are doing. So it's not abundantly clear what's going on all times either. I thought the crashes were pretty cool. I like how they threw in an A-Team homage where one of them did, like, a little, like, corkscrew flip there.
Yeah.
At the end, he basically, like, jukes the pimp guy, gets a bunch of mud on his windshield, and he can't see, and he drives right into a front loader.
Yeah. I thought that part was definitely
awesome. That was really awesome. Cool, yeah.
But for could have gotten there quicker.
Lee Mason's like, I don't know the way out of here. I'm just going right through the foreman's trailer.
Yeah. He beeps first. I'll give him that.
He does.
Wants him to know he's coming through. But yeah, he just fudges out of there. Leaving a wake of destruction in his path.
And I like how he realizes he's got a tail. So he basically just gets to like a U-turn, does one real quick through the light, and gives the cop the finger on the way out.
I like the constable or whatever he is also like tells him this is what's going to happen. It's like, you know, he's on his game now. He's going to notice you. He's going to ditch you. So be prepared for that. And immediately he does it. Flips the guy off. Go.
So he gets the girl to a hotel and starts to detox her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like most of the places he visits or people that he talks to are like people that he's dealt with in the past. So he's got a really good reputation that he can just take this coked out girl into this hotel and like have a whole private area to do whatever.
The guy at the desk is like, she's probably not going to be a corpse later.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. And presumably it's the basement of this same hotel that he uses for...
I don't know. But at least he saves one girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not his daughter.
Well, and the police did find that site. So hopefully, you know, he saved the rest. So I think he killed basically everybody that would move those girls. And I don't think those girls were going anywhere on their own.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But from this girl, he catches, he finds out from her once she wakes up, his daughter did give her the jacket, at this house with a red door. And she remembers where it is and tells him.
Yeah. Between those two points, there he went to go, the detective wanted to meet him, but he's totally on to this ambush, and he's like, no, you're here to arrest me. I ain't going over there. The guy's like, I'm going to give you a ticket out of Paris. He's like, what about my daughter? He's like, not my problem.
Yeah, word. He was like, sorry, dude. I told you to not make a mess, and you fucked up, so
yeah.
Daughter's dead. Like, what the fuck, dude? Fuck you.
Yeah.
You can't help her, but get you the hell out of here.
He's like, oh, fuck. I mean, he says, I'll tear down the fucking Eiffel Tower if I have to.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He does the whole, like, they close in on his phone, and it's like he's got one cell phone talking to another cell phone, and then he just slips away on the subway, comes back, and that's when the girl spills the beans about the house.
Mm.
And, he just finds the house with the red door.
Yeah, he just strolls in.
Mm-hmm.
Door's open.
Gonna do the whole I pretend to be a cop thing.
Yes.
So, which works pretty well.
He's got the constable's card, so he's kind of playing up like he's that dude.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Liam Neeson shows up to this place with this card. His name is Jean-Claude.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Neeson...
He's not Jean-Claude.
He appears to be putting on like a New York accent.
Mm-hmm.
Why you would...
Are you going to argue with him?
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm pretty sure the accent was just for him. It didn't really matter.
I guess. It's just like, we're in Paris. My name is Jean-Claude. I'm going to put on a New York accent.
Sounds tough.
I guess.
I think his hopes, and this is a bit racist, but I think his hopes are that these Albanians are so, like, new to the country that they're just not going to know and or care.
I suppose.
Well, maybe he's figuring, like, he talked to one on the phone, so he doesn't want to use his normal voice, because he might
yeah,
that's might true.
Remember it.
But then there's the fact that his accent is terrible.
It's shitty.
It's obvious that it's just Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it goes to mentioning, like, nobody's acting well in this movie.
No. So
that's not really what it's...
No, you're not here for that.
You're just going to get beat up. That's it.
Yeah.
So he does make it into the house with the whole crew of these, like, Albanian kidnappers. And he's basically just going over this whole crooked policeman spiel. Just trying to get each and every single one of them to actually say something. Mm-hmm. Just so he can, you know, recognize their voices.
He's trying to find Marco.
Yeah. Yeah, he got the name Marco before as one of the leads of this group that took his daughter. So he's looking for him. So he's trying to, you know... Pretend like he's making a deal with them. Like, I'm a crooked cop. You can have me on the take. But we need to work some things out so we can get them talking, like you said.
One thing that wasn't in the movie that I would have appreciated is, you know, how one of them outs the crooked cop that they normally deal with.
Right.
It'd be cool if later on, when he has another interaction with the detective, he was just like, oh, by the way, this guy's crooked on your
phone. He does.
He does say that?
He does say
that.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that.
Dinner thing.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize he did say that.
At their dinner party.
I forgot.
Yeah. That's okay. But he does eventually get Marco to speak and recognizes him.
Yeah. By making him say good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he realizes the quietest guy at the table is probably the head. So he's like, you know, can you translate this for me? And it says good luck. And once he hears that, he's like, oh, I know. I know.
He might as well have put that, like, that Kill Bill, like,
accent's gone. He's like, you don't remember me, do you?
He's got, like, a Brock Samson murder face.
For real, for real.
You're like, oh shit.
I also like, you know, he's, you know, you don't remember, we talked the other day on the phone, and the guy has this look like, I talked to a bunch of Irish guys on the phone yesterday. Which one are you? Oh, right.
Don't bother trying to get up. I put my dick across your arms.
That's what he flipped the table with.
Like a Thor's hammer. Like,
yep, exactly.
It's on your shoulder.
Get it off me, man!
It has already pulled your gun on you. What? All right. Yeah, but no, this guy does try and get up.
I mean, I just want to be so famous, I go up to a dude, my dick on his shoulder. He'd be like, oh shit, this thing's fell. Like,
smooth as eggs.
All right.
So, I mean, he lashes out on the people in this room like a berserk octopus. Like, he's. He, like, throws the table at a dude. He's throat chopping people. He's punching, kicking people. One guy's like, hey, I got a gun. He's like, no, it's my gun now. Shoots everybody else with it.
He is.
Make sure Marco is just unconscious.
Yes.
But I liked his tactic of he lied down on the floor like he was dead, too. So the first guy in was just kind of like, everyone's dead. What happened here? And then,
bang, bang.
Yeah, there's a hand underneath. Ba-bam. Mm-hmm. And that guy shot. Yeah, that was a pretty slick move there.
Mm-hmm. He just dispatches everyone in the house.
Yeah, he just kills everybody.
He's really efficient.
He is. Mm-hmm. Almost John Wick level.
Yeah, he simultaneously like spends the time to make sure everybody gets a thorough beating, but doesn't seem to spend like too much time beating on one guy. Except for Marco.
Here. Oh, Marco. Yeah.
Marco needs to give him some answers. So.
But first, he does go through the house and he finds Amanda.
Right. Yeah.
And Amanda's not doing so well.
No, she Hendrixed herself. Like, she's got barf all over her mouth, and she's just dead.
But, although, he doesn't really do much.
He gives no fucks.
What's he going to do? What is he going to do?
He's like,
check a pulse, at least.
He did.
He did.
Yeah. I don't think he got that close.
He checked. He determined cause of death.
She's dead. Fuck her. She's the whole reason why. She lied to me first, so fuck her. Like, that's what... And leaves.
Yeah.
I don't think he was quite
He's also like, I got a Marco to torture.
Yeah. It's like, time's running out. She ain't gonna get any deader.
Yeah. And her parents like, don't need closure.
For my daughter. That's what happens.
Parents are assholes anyway.
Yeah, her parents don't need closure to have a burial or anything.
I mean, they'll get cold eventually.
So anyway, yeah, he goes to the basement where he's strapped Marco to this chair.
It's like the worst alarm clock ever.
Yeah. It's a metal chair that he has wired up to the electricity of this house. So every time he flips a switch.
Well, he wakes him up by just going, hey, Marco, I need you to focus. It just jabs two giant nails into his legs.
Right. just, you know, a little bit of metal to help things get moving. Possibly to stick him to the chair. I don't think they did.
Well, he's not getting up and moving around, and I believe he hooks the wires up to those, right?
No, he hooks them up to the arms of
the chair. It's on the arms of the chair.
That's what I thought, too. Like, I thought originally that he hooked them to those, but now he hooks them up to the arms of the chair.
Yeah.
So, he basically points out how great Paris's electrical network is.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, let's flip this switch, you know, just... Power's going to run all day.
Yep. Just keep zapping you until I get what I need.
Mm-hmm. And this guy, he's not good at making decisions. Because, I mean, first off, deciding to kidnap Liam Neeson's daughter was not a good call.
Yeah.
He was taking a shot.
Trying to be, like, the tough guy here, would be like, fuck that. You know, what do you want to know?
It's like, dude, you're strapped to a chair. There's obviously electricity, like, attached to it. You just got railroad spikes put through your kneecaps. Mm-hmm.
You know this man killed all 8 of your friends.
All of your dudes.
Pretty sure the next guy that's coming to this house, he's probably going to kill that dude too. So I don't think help's coming for you.
Well, also, and this is the part I don't get. Like, you know, maybe sometimes you have a thing, you know, oh, I kept my word. I didn't say anything or something. That's so great. But like, this is for one girl. Like, you seem to go through a lot of those. So just fucking tell him. Like, you know, like, whatever, it's here, go, this is where we're auctioning her, go buy her, and then get the fuck out of my face. I don't want to hear from you ever again.
So eventually he spills the beans, and, you know, Liam Neeson is like, you had your chance, you know, you could have walked away. I'm just going to leave this light switch on.
Just flips the switch and walks out.
Yeah.
This is the best acting in the whole movie, where the guy's like, please, please don't kill me. He's like, please, he's like crying, like, please.
But, yeah, that guy is dead.
And it's going to be a terrible death, too.
Yeah, because that's not enough current to just kill you outright.
Mm-hmm.
That's just going to keep going until your heart explodes.
Yeah.
But he found out he sold him to St. Clair.
Yeah, so he needs to find out exactly who or what St. Clair is.
Time to go to dinner.
Let's...
Yeah, so this constable comes home, finds Liam Neeson just kind of got himself invited in.
Hey, buddy.
Well, yeah, because they're old buddies.
Yeah.
He knows the family.
He's just like, God damn it.
Yeah. Probably should have told my wife about this. Crap.
Let me go get bathroom gun.
Yeah.
I've never seen bathroom gun. Okay, first off, as a parent, that is fucking irresponsible. Holy crap. Bathroom gun. And he didn't even store it somewhere where the kids like can't get it.
It's just like, under the, it's like it's a under child the sink. Height.
Yeah,
that's kind of an odd place.
Yeah, that's just not, that's not good.
I don't know how safely you can store a gun in a toilet tank, but.
I don't know. Get one of those, like, spare toilet paper roll decoration things, or, you know, get a cabinet that the kids can't reach.
That would work.
Yeah. Or don't have a bathroom gun. I mean maybe if you're really worried about when you're dropping a deuce, you gotta defend yourself.
If you're a crooked cop, you want a bathroom gun.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's not even just necessarily a crooked cop, but, like, he knows some shit could happen. He wants a spare gun in case it happens, and I guess
there are probably, like, 3 or 4 guns in the house.
Probably.
Yeah.
You're a crooked cop thought, that looks just a little bit too much like Kevin Spacey. Yeah. You want to have some guns.
Wait, are those not his kids?
Stop it.
Eat your Dorito. By the way, coming soon to the 4 a.m. shop, bathroom gun.
It just shoots hot cheese.
Yeah. You gotta have, when you have a drop of deuce, you need your old 22.
Yeah.
No, it's just a water pistol you can use as a bidet.
Sometimes when one of them doesn't want to fit down the tank.
Or, yeah, I was thinking, if you're a little constipated, you pull out the bathroom gun, aim it at your head, and just might get you pooping.
Mm-hmm.
Play a little Russian roulette, just get the shit out of you.
All right, so.
Really told me.
Okay. So anyway, bathroom gun. So he comes back out. He's like, all right, I got bathroom gun. I'm good. I can deal with Liam Neeson now. Let's have a conversation here.
So this is where Liam Neeson's like, was like, yeah, you know, I was doing some stuff today and I came across some buddies and know your friend, what,
The McKean?
Yeah. Whatever. It was
McCone. Yeah, I don't know.
McCone, I don't know. And he was like, hope you don't have anything to do with that because that'd be shitty. And his wife's like, what?
Well, his poor wife, because it takes her a while to realize that, like, this is not cool.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it's immediately, like, they're sat down to have dinner, and the two of them are just, it's amping up, but it starts out pretty hostile, and she's just there smiling and having a great time, like, oh, nice to have you here again. He's like, yeah, it's nice to be here, asshole. Like, what?
So he's like, yo, give me anything to do with that? And the guy's like, look, I got bills to pay. And my paycheck's only so much. So my bills is more than my paycheck. I have to pay that money somehow. So that's how I get it. And his wife's like, what?
What's happening now?
And then he fucks up. He draws the gun, his bathroom gun on Liam Neeson. That's where you fucked up, dude.
Getting behind a desk makes you sloppy. Makes you forget things, like how much your bathroom gun should weigh, when it's loaded or not. He takes the bullets out,
yeah.
And the guy's like, shit, tries to shoot Liam Neeson, no bullets in bathroom gun.
Like, Liam Neeson's like, look, fuck you, fuck your kids, fuck France, fuck creeps, fuck fuck Eiffel Tower, fuck French fries.
Brian, fuck, have a Dorito.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck museums. He's like, fuck your language.
And, all right. But, he drops the bullets on the table, and the guy tries to shoot, and he's like, there's no bullets in your gun, but they are in mine, and just shoots his wife. He's right, like, that's
nice,
shoulder.
Nice wife you got over there. Shame if someone shot her.
You know what? She's missing a couple holes in the shoulder.
And he's like, look, by the way, shot your wife. I'm gonna fuck about her. I'm gonna fuck about you.
Yeah. And she's just there on the ground like, we were having nice dinner.
I flushed all of my morality down the toilet along with the bullets to your bathroom gun.
Where's my daughter?
Yeah.
Or I will fucking shoot your wife. Because you didn't give 2 shits about my daughter. I'm not giving 2 shits about your wife. He fucking says it flat out. Yeah. Like, if you cared more about my daughter, I wouldn't be shooting your wife right now. Like, fucking flat out says that shit.
Like, does that seem fair to you?
What?
So... Yeah, all right, the guy finds out about St. Clair for him.
Yeah.
He's like, go help your wife. I'm out.
He said apologize to her.
Apologize to your wife. Yeah.
Fucking apologize.
I'll help pay for the physical therapy, I guess.
Since, flesh wound.
Yeah, it was just a flesh wound.
So he finds this other place where I guess they're doing auctions, selling off all the girls to the highest bidder. So he's, you know, he's going to kind of...
party crashing.
Yeah, he's going to just slide on in there by just beating the shit out of this poor guy working the elevator. I guess I can't say poor guy because it's part of the sleazy shit. Yeah. But...
His stealth tactics get more and more questionable as this goes on. Like he hides this body when he like finds like the guy serving champagne.
So this is like in a video game where you've been playing for like the entire day.
Yeah.
Or and you're tired.
Or if you do not want to deal with that stealth level.
Yeah. You just want to get to the next save point, whatever. So you're like, or just finish this part of the story so you know get some rest. He's stealth's out the window at this point. He don't fuck.
Mm. Yeah. I play Hitman. I just kill people. I just leave them wherever. I don't care. I get caught immediately. And I'm like, oh, guess I got to shoot my way out. No gun? All right.
Then he comes out and he's like, obviously not the guy that brings champagne to people. Like this guard at the door, which just, he saw Liam Neeson. He's like, God damn it.
Yeah. Not even close, like, buddy.
I'm just going to stand here. Hopefully, you know, he'll only have to hit me once. And I'll just fall down. It will be good. But Liam Neeson's like, I don't know, tray shot
to your neck.
Yeah.
Gotta be that neck.
Yeah. And he just sneaks in the room with this dude who's buying some ladies. Even if I was focused on the property there or the merchandise, I'd know if there's a Liam Neeson in my room with me.
You would think.
Cocking his shoulder as well.
I smell it. I smell a dick 20 times the size of my own.
Yeah, it's
like, something is amiss.
Smells like Irish cheese.
Felt the air displace as that thing pushed its way into the room.
He felt the presence of two entities.
So sure enough, the last girl up is his daughter. And
buy her now.
Which I don't get. Like, just press the button your damn self. Like,
well, you can see the person. Like, you can see the other buyers from other windows. For reasons, I don't.
I thought they were two-way mirrors, but like they were letting you know that like I didn't think that the girls can see.
Yeah, I think it's just for the audience to see.
No, but like because you looking through the mirror, you could see the other people though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like we could see.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was just for our purposes so that we could see.
Yeah, that's not how I interpreted it though, because I think the girl's all drugged up, so it doesn't matter what she sees anyway. So, like, I don't know why you'd want to see the other buyers, but because otherwise I would have just like knocked that dude out and just jammed on the button myself.
Just have his dick do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always felt like it was for our benefit. We saw the other buyers, but they couldn't.
Either way,
his daughter fetches 500 grand.
I said,
well, it was lower than that, but like he pressed the button. Yeah.
The other people were bidding.
I don't understand like how that stops. Like.
What do you mean?
Well, buy her. Keep bidding. Keep bidding. Like, if you keep hitting that button, why would they ever be like, you know what, never mind. It's closed and it's going to be sold to this other person.
Well, no. The auctioneer is going to let it go as high as they can. Yeah. But other people were bidding, too. That made it go up.
Yeah, but like, why? You don't stop. You don't care if this guy can't pay it. Tell him to keep hitting that button.
That's exactly what happened.
Did he win?
That's what he won. He won.
Oh, I thought it was somebody else won.
No, he won.
No. What movie are you watching?
I was probably I had my head down writing notes. I don't remember.
If this were a video game, this next part would be a cutscene because, like, there's always that part where you suddenly get captured.
Yeah,
this was a cutscene.
Yeah, because it's like there's no way that would have actually happened.
First of all, this dude goes down with a breeze against his back.
He just walks outside, gets like 2 feet, and then someone just saps him from behind.
That's like in this game where like you jump from 30 stories up, you've had a mountain falling you, like, all of a sudden you turn a corner, someone taps you, and you're out unconscious. You're like, fuck this. That wouldn't have happened. I took that shit. I took 10 bullets just 2 seconds ago. That wouldn't have knocked me out. Fuck you.
Like, as I always remember in, like, the first Metal Gear, where I think they knock you out with, like, a butt stroke from a rifle or something, and I'm like, I got ran over by a tank 2 hours ago. Like, I don't think that's going to do anything.
Not doing it. This is not how this should work. Although he is, like, in his 50s. Yeah. He's been doing a lot of running.
Well, that's like in the animes where like hardcore powerful like characters always get smacked by some random woman and always hurts them like, oh, ow. Like,
Yeah, well, once chibi heads are up, then it's all bets are off. Doesn't matter how powerful. So
Liam Neeson has his chibi head up.
Yeah, yes. That's what happened.
So big anyway, teardrop comes down.
So he gets swirly eyes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's tied up to this pipe against the ceiling. They're interrogating him.
St. Clair's like, who has the big dick now? You're all handcuffed up there. You know,
I still like, do. Slap, he's slap. Like,
look, dude, you just sold my daughter. Can I just get my daughter? Yeah. I'm really tired. And he's like, nope, no refunds, and we're going to kill you.
Technically, I bid on her. Mm-hmm. I know it was somebody else's money, but...
But this is how I roll. I'm going to walk out of the room and leave these three flunkies to take care of it.
I have to go continue being Dave Matthews.
Yep. He doesn't even get, like, down the hallway before this shit goes wrong.
I'll see you guys later, and I hope that pipe holds.
Because the freaking weight of Neeson's dick pulling this pipe down. We're going there again, huh? We got another one of these?
Of course we are.
Another one of these episodes?
That pipe just rips out of the wall, burns one dude's face with the steam.
T-shirt's going to be Liam Neeson and Hugh Jackman sword fighting from 50 yards.
What, one's claws, one's a lightsaber?
He just beats the fuck out of these three people. And then, like, he gets the gun from one of them. And then, like how St. Clair sends that one guy, he's like, go see what's going on, because he hears a gunshot and he wanted them to kill him quietly. So the guy opens the door and is just immediately shut.
And out comes a bloodied up Liam Neeson. Yeah. He's just like, oh, shit.
This guy's like, hold on, we can talk about this. Liam Neeson's like, all of your appendages are shot.
Fuck all of you.
I love this exchange, though. He's like, it was business. It wasn't personal. He's like, it was all personal to me. And empties the whole damn clip into him.
Right in the little elevator. So,
yeah. Sends his dead body up.
Yeah. You got, sorry, go ahead.
No. And then party's over, basically.
Yeah. That was a party foul.
It was a major party foul.
So shit starts going crazy. Everybody's evacuating. Liam Neeson needs to figure out, or I guess he sees where his daughter is being taken, what car.
Yeah, they're being loaded into taxis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does a little driving, a little running.
Yeah, he starts out just doing a T-1000, running down the street. Eventually gets himself in a car.
But he's old. Yeah. Like, this thing, he's really hard. He's
Yeah, well, I mean.
He grabs his chest at one point.
He's also, like, fought 30 guys to this point. So
he's killed 30 men.
I would not have made it. I wouldn't have made it to Paris. I would have gotten to the airport and just been like, you know, I told her not to go.
I wouldn't have even had a daughter.
That's true.
I was on the phone and they were like, yo, I mean, I can make more kids. I mean, Liam Neeson.
I would have been in the room with Famke Janssen and like just gotten started to get undressed and be like, I'm just tired.
I'm just picturing if we were in the role, it's just like, it gets that phone call or whatever and like, okay, hangs up. Throws out the book with all her, you know, birthday pictures, takes another book, starts writing Maggie on the cover. Yeah. We'll try this again. But
just send my dick out the mail slot.
Dick, go find someone. Yeah. Find us a mate.
It would, yeah.
Just,
yeah, I mean, if I had to drag that around, I'd be panting too.
So anyway,
yeah, down to a docking area.
Think about the momentum. Think about the momentum he's got to fight every time he swings his arms. Mm.
So, it's like, it's an action movie. They're getting on a boat. I'm in a car. Of course, I'm just going to have to jump off a bridge onto the boat, which he does.
Yep.
At least he didn't drive the car onto the boat.
Yeah.
And he does an awesome... I
have expected that to happen. Hmm.
They didn't have the budget to throw a car in a boat. He does this awesome, like, stealth roll, break the dude's neck kind of deal.
Yeah. Seems to twist his ankle in the process, though.
Yeah.
But, takes that guy out, makes his way downstairs, takes another dude out with just hanging from the ceiling swing kick.
This is when the buyer from before, he sees him and he's like, oh, shit, better alert the guards.
Yeah.
And we meet the guy that he was buying him for.
Jabba Doo Hutt.
Yeah. Jabba the Rapist.
Yeah.
For real, for real.
Yep.
The Iron Sheik.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
yeah, he's not iron. He's...
No, he's like the aluminum pillowcase.
Yeah.
Marshmallow fluff sheik.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so he's like, crap, I guess I'm like the closest thing this movie has to a Class A goon. Let me see if I can take care of this.
Sure.
And Liam Neeson just murders people.
Yeah, just more killing.
Yeah, there's like a guy comes over to a door, he plays like a game of peekaboo and pops up in the porthole and just shoots him through that. So one guy's like, hey, I'm just going to shove my submachine gun through the door. And Liam Neeson slams his hand in the door and then takes the gun, puts it back through the door and shoots him.
So like the jumping behind the couch, shoots the guy in the foot, so the guy falls down and just shoots him in the head.
Yep.
That's a good move.
I will say, I like that he's not invincible. So he gets shot and he gets like hurt like during all this. So.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of evens the playing field because he's got like a solid foot on this buyer guy. But they have a pretty cool fight here. They fight around the boat. Things are going mostly the buyer's way until... they get to the bottles of alcohol.
You don't get into a bar fight with an Irishman. No, you just don't.
No, there's no, especially not I'm going to break a bottle over you break a bottle over me contest.
No. Nope.
No.
Definitely not.
He can do that all day.
And then he decides to make cookies.
Yeah.
He does the old cookie cutter.
I would have thought like bottles would come out the spout. Yeah.
Oh, he just menaces this dude with the bottle. He stabs the hell out of him. And he's like, oh, you're still holding that knife you were coming at me with? You could stab yourself with that, too. Yeah.
Why stab yourself?
He dislocates the guy's arm and then just freely jerks it around and stabs him a bunch of times with it. And then after he like runs the guy through, well, doesn't run the guy through, but he sticks the knife in him. He just starts kneeing the guy in his hand to keep jabbing the knife in there.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's a brutal death.
Yep.
This is after I believe he stabbed him in the trachea with the bottle too.
I think so. It's just horribleness all around.
But I like this next part a lot.
Yeah, we're breaking down into Jubbly Chunkum's room.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, is this your daughter? I got a knife. How about we negotiate? Liam Neeson did not have time for that.
Nope.
right in the head.
You're 7 feet away. I am point blank.
You are fat and slow and my aim is way too good. Fuck you.
If you really place like 7 yards away, different story. You're 7 feet away. Like, I injured the face mirror.
Well, like, there does seem to be... I feel like there's almost that standoff for half a moment until the guy's like, maybe we can negotiate, or starts to say that at least, and lets the knife move just a little bit far enough away where he felt safe, and then bam!
Yep.
Like, that's all I was waiting for. All right.
Then we get his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You came for me? And he's like, motherfucker, what do you think? I told you I'm
He like, just holds her. He just holds her, and he's like, I got good news and bad news. Good news is, I think I'm your new best friend.
Bad news is, it's because your last best friend is dead.
Yeah.
But
you're still a virgin, so it's all good.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically, he's
who needs
just
a
like,
horse now?
I am the best dad ever.
Yeah.
That would be like scary as fuck. So you know she didn't really think like anyone's coming for her. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So imagine like dating this girl.
Oh, man.
Like, so my dad murdered like 30 people.
Like, that I know of.
That I know of. Yeah. Caused an international incident.
I do like,
I'm pretty sure no one's steering this boat, so I bet it crashes somewhere.
It kills a bunch more people.
Yeah.
We'll be off it by then. But no, yeah, I do like the idea, you know, the guy shows up to take her to prom or whatever, and she's like, I'll be down in a minute. And he's just like, so what are your intentions here?
Yeah.
You know, I've killed a lot of people. Oh, yeah, it seems funny, but no, here's the papers. Yeah.
I also know everything about you.
Yeah, I was in the news.
You won't even get a chance to negotiate.
Oh, and also, slap, that was my dick. For good measure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so again, she's just, you know, happy to see her dad. We cut to them back at the airport. Mm. They're back home. Yay, everything's good, which I can't imagine this can't be right at all.
Everything is not good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Yeah, I don't want to downplay the trauma this girl has been through. But when, like, the next day you're like, oh, you're going to go meet She-Ra and, you know, continue living.
I don't think that was the next day, but all right.
Yeah.
It was fast forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is, again, I was thinking, like, even, you know, especially with She-Ra, but, like, when they go to meet the parents at the airport, like, she might be shying away from people touching her because, like, yeah, she's a little traumatized at the moment. Like, I'm afraid to talk to anybody, you know? She almost punches out a stewardess for asking if she wants peanuts.
No, that's all right. She knows if it goes too far, Liam Neeson will murder that person.
He probably flew the plane.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for him to be like, take one arm off and be like, that's why you don't lie to your dad.
As we said, it ends with, because, you know, even though she was shitty and he did, you know, he killed like half of Paris to get her back, like, he still needs to get her a present. So he takes her to meet She-Ra and get some singing lessons. And just cut to black.
That's basically it.
Yeah, and that's Taken from 2008. Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 58%. Audience gave this a score of 85%. That's their personal thoughts and opinions. What about you and yours, or a recommendation, Rob?
Yeah, I totally recommend this. I think it might even for me be like a little higher than 83%. Is that what you said?
85% for audiences.
Might be a little higher than 85 for me. It's a solid action movie. It gets all the emotional, like, it gets all the setup done in like 15 minutes, and then it's just nonstop after that. It's all practical effects as far as I can tell. And it's just, it's like an hour and a half, and just, yeah, I enjoy it every time I see it. So yeah, totally recommend for me.
Okay. Brian.
It's a very efficient movie in that, like, it doesn't play around. This is what it is. I have an action movie. I'm gonna kill a bunch of shit, fight a bunch of shit, and it's gonna be over. And so on that note, like it's a great movie. Like, I'd watch it again. I fully would say watch it.
Right, Joe,
you need to ask yourself, how many people do I want to see get chopped in the neck? You know, if that's a positive number, then yeah, this movie's for you. I mean, you're not exactly getting a cinematic masterwork here. This is not one of, you know, it's not an amazing character or any kind of deep plot. It's just one man going on a rampage. If that's what you're into, then you're going to have a great time, because this is a really solid movie for that. There's nothing else there, but I mean, it's a really solid rampage movie, and, you know, I'm into those, so I am going to recommend it.
Okay. Yes, yeah, same out of me. Like, you know, it's been covered, but yeah, it has a very basic plot to the beginning that it's pretty much dropped later on, other than just, it's for my daughter, but it doesn't need one. It's an action movie. It gets right to the point. We're killing some people. We're trapping people in the neck. We're running people over with cars.
Shooting wives.
And we do this well. Yeah, for whatever little problems I have with his personal morality and so on, like, it's a cool action movie. So if you're looking for an action movie, this is a good one to watch. So, recommendation from me.
You have problems with his personal morality?
Hey, we're shooting a wife.
He's like, I love my daughter.
You know what? I met your daughter in the beginning. She's not worth shooting that guy's wife.
Tony, he would punch your head so hard.
Yeah. I like that he's a badass, but he, like, they still make sure that he's human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not doing any crazy flips or anything.
That Die Hard 1 type of thing where he's still human.
Like Brian said, he's doing what he should do in those situations, or at least a reasonable presentation of what you should do.
Yeah.
He does no unnecessary flips. Yeah, he's not making any impossible shots or anything.
Yeah. So, recommendations all around from us. So, it is Taken as our recommendation to this week.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got for the
people? I have a recommendation. Oh. Stop here, though, with the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just Taken. If you see Taken 2, you're just like, I could just go back and watch Taken 1.
Yeah.
I don't need to see anything else. I didn't bother with Taken 3, so maybe it's good, but I can't imagine it being.
Probably not. I have not seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll save that for potentially another podcast. So what do we have for the people, Brian?
So next week we have our second sponsored episode.
Yay!
Blah, 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 blah. And this one comes to us by way of John. John has paid us $20 to watch a movie.
A cartoon.
A cartoon movie that he watched as a kid.
About dragons.
About dragons and magic.
I believe it's called Flight of Dragons.
Flight of Dragons.
It's got John Ritter.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
Rankin Bass.
Rankin Bass.
The guy from MASH who's like not any of the characters you like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Name all your favorite characters from MASH. Yeah, not him.
Nope. Nope, not that one. No. No. Yep, there you go. All right. So yeah, next week we will be doing a sponsored episode of Flight of Dragons for John. With John.
Oh, special
guest. Be joining us. Won't that be special? Now, what else you got for the people besides weird noises, Rob?
Well, we've got our sincere thanks for listening is what we've got. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can find all our old episodes there, including Flight of the Navigator and other gems that we did a long time ago. Tremors we did. That was episode 2, guys.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
And if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd certainly appreciate it. Help us keep the lights on around here. You can go to our website, again, at 4ampodcast.podbean.com, and go to the Sponsor an Episode page, and I'll show you how to do that. Please consider subscribing if you enjoyed the episode. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at 4ampodcast. And, of course, if you want to email us, you can reach us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, please do sponsor, guys. Like Rob said, we need to keep the lights on. We're trying to torture a guy in the other room. And
it's hard to eat in the dark.
Yeah, it's annoying when every time we turn the switch on and the power blacks out.
Yeah, it's just not good.
I mean, again, if you want to just throw us $4, you can donate. That's fine. You don't have to like sponsor an episode if you want.
That's also true. Yeah.
It wasn't like $1, $2.
And you can also go to our shop page if you want to just buy some merch.
Buy some merch.
Get some bathroom gum.
Bathroom gum.
Borrow a line of Joe Pesci action figures.
Sword fighting shirts coming soon. Anyway.
We do a movie where someone takes our snacks and we have to like go save our snacks from getting ate by somebody.
We would get to like the end of the driveway and just be like, you buy more snacks.
Nah, fuck that. Don't take my snacks. Principles.
Okay. Yeah, what was that app you were talking about?
Oh, GoPuff?
Yeah.
Taking my snacks. Coming to my house, take my snacks.
But anyway, thank you all for joining us. We hope you will join us next week for our very sponsored. Very special, very sponsored episode. Flight of Dragons.
Much sponsored. Very well.
Yeah. Till then.
Deuces.
Later.
Adios.
Good night, everybody.
What part of this mic stand do you think would be its throat? Like maybe right here?
Yeah. Ha!